world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail.
Welcome to our Season 7, Episode 11.
Not what you expect, Aid. That's all I got. I had to split it up to make a pun. I had, like, how do I make a pun out of this? And I just started cutting it, and, like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It's a work in progress, this.
I have to capitalize the EX.
Yeah, like, just so then, it's clear.
And then spell expected wrong.
Yeah, like, I don't know what's happening to me. This is what's going to happen this year, apparently.
It's okay. We'll get through it. One step at a time.
Wasn't that a show, or is that a song? It's probably both, honestly.
I know it's a song.
It's probably might be a show somewhere.
A movie or something.
I don't know. I don't know what trivia. Damn it, Kat, this doesn't involve you. You go find Johto. Where is it? I want them to just introduce all the Pokemon so I can go catch them while everyone else tries to figure out how to battle.
Sounds fine to me.
It's like... no fun. The more I learn about it, the more I'm like, why did we decide on this system and not try to do something that's a little bit closer to normal?
Yeah, it's really convoluted, and like it's hard to know if you're going to win. And
the first time I played, I didn't know it wasn't going to be turn-based. They're like, you have to hit him. I'm like, since when? Where's my menu? Like, what the fuck, man?
Well, they don't tell you anything for starters, so that's really...
What do you mean, swipe to dodge? Either it's you don't dodge, or you say, Pikachu, dodge, but that's not how it really works.
It took me days to know that I could dodge.
Look at this game. Yeah, I didn't know.
The gym system itself is just really convoluted. Like, it's basically a system where you're never gonna hold on to the gym that long.
Yeah.
And with the way it is right now, like, unless you sit there with a whole bunch of items and just continually, like, fight it over and over, it heavily alienates new players.
Yeah.
Because you just start, you're catching, like, 100, maybe 200 max, and then you, like, you go, oh, look, it's a gym, and then it's, like, some asshole with a 1600 Aerodactyl or something.
Yeah.
In there, and you're, like, with your little fucking, like, Kakuna or some shit. And, I don't know, there's just, it's a weird Pokemon version of Turf Wars, and it's really obnoxious.
I saw, like, I think I was creeping on, like, a conversation you and Guy were having on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, I wish that, like, these quote-unquote gyms were just, like, almost like a frontier area and just stay the way they are, but then, like, have actual gyms where you just fight, like, an NPC and get a goddamn badge so you can get experience and accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Like, I just kind of long for it to be a little bit more normal in certain respects. Like, and I get the whole... you know, the idea behind catching multiples and using them as cannon fodder is a way to, like, extend the life of catching, but, like, you don't have any attachment to any of the Pokemon you catch because you're just, like, putting them through the grinder.
I 100% understand that.
So it's, like, I just... because, like, I was all excited when I first started. I'm like, look, it's Dave and Diggle, and now they're, like, been discarded because they're, like, 10 or something. So it's, like, I just want to catch all the people and just leave this battling nonsense alone and the CPs and the lucky eggs and the Pidgey schemes and just... I'm going home.
I just want to catch them all.
Really, I do. Very complicated.
But, yeah, like, I... at the end of the day, I really wish, like, the... either the teams didn't exist or the team system was kind of similar to how it is in... it was a different game I used to play, and I don't quite remember which one it was. Oh, it was a... it was this online Transformers game. And you could pick Autobot or Decepticon, and you you did certain missions, and, like, at the end of the week, one side won, and you got, like, items or something like that. I don't remember. And I think that'd be really cool with this game is, like, instead of just continuously trying to back and forth take over gyms, have the gyms be filled with NPCs.
Yeah.
And you can keep fighting the gyms, and then you earn points for your team, and then, like, at the end of the week, the team with the most points gets, like, a batch of items, or...
Like Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, okay, is that how Kingdom Hearts works?
Yeah, that's how Kingdom Hearts works.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think Pokemon should be.
It would make total sense, and you wouldn't have all the, like, you know, people being shitheads and playing, yeah, you know, all the shit up there.
Exactly.
Ta-da!
So there we go. It's like Kingdom Hearts.
Boom. Solved it. Just hire Brian right now. Boom. Hire Brian. Go no, then pitches him. What's your pitch, sir? Just writes Kingdom Hearts on a blackboard and walks away.
Exactly. Boom. Like
done.
Like you said.
Well, and it's funny because, like you said, it alienates new players, but then there's players like me that started at the same time but just waited to do gyms until I got my bearings, and like that was like a few days, and then people are already like fucked up.
I know exactly.
Like, well... Then you got casuals out there calling grass types plant types. I ran into a guy yesterday at the park who was calling them plant types, and he kept calling them thunder types. Thunder types. It's like, sir, give me your phone. Just give me your phone to start smashing it.
I had that asshole at the pavilion trying to say that Ruby and Sapphire came out before Gold and Silver.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Fucking scrub.
Maybe in the Upside Down, but not here.
It's Earth 2.
Yeah, pretty much. It's Earth 2 with just a bunch of moss and monsters.
He was incredibly insistent on it.
It's like that kid that Kevin keeps talking about. Basically.
It's
kind of like I had a conversation with this girl this one time that I sort of liked at the time, but not afterwards. It was like before the Avengers and the Justice League came out, and she was like insistent that the movie was going to be a team up between the Justice League and the Avengers. I'm like, no, they're different people. And she goes, no, but it's them all together. And I'm just like, all right, like in that patronizing like little kid, like, all right, you keep living in the fantasy world.
Like, you do you.
Like, I'm done. I'm going home. People. So, I guess now that Pokemon Go coverage is time for the one-ups.
Well, but like, that's... If you listen to the past two episodes, like, most of the one-ups have just been us talking about our status in Pokemon Go.
Yeah. It's too crunchy also. God damn it. Sorry.
Everything is too crunchy.
Everything is crunchy.
Crunchy roll. Ha ha ha. Anyway. This is the noises portion.
Apparently.
But, okay, so... What all have I gotten? I picked up Batman vs. Superman at Target. I haven't watched it yet.
So I might arrive yesterday. I'm going to watch it this weekend, probably.
I don't know what all the Coolio extra half hour is, but...
It's just a monologue by Jesse Eisenberg. It's about Facebook. It's about how he thinks the movie should have been Facebook versus MySpace. Like, honestly, that's what it was about. I saw it.
Perfect. I got that. I found the first wave of Titan Returns Legends class Transformers. They're not bad. Rewind's really good. Wheelie has a good robot mode and does not hold together in vehicle mode whatsoever. And then Stripes is kind of whatever. It's Orange Ravage, basically. Don't buy Stripes.
Are you going to say Orange Range for a second?
buy Ravage. Instead,
Vandal Ravage.
It's just Ravage with a blue coat and really bad hair. So I picked up those. Felt like there was other things, but I don't think there is. I don't remember. I don't think I had them last episode, but I got the first set of Ultraman Orb toys in from HLJ, and they're fucking fantastic. So there's that. And the show's pretty cool, too. So it's a win-win. No new Power Ranger toys. Haven't found anything new in that.
I still haven't found those goddamn morphers that are at Walmart. Like, all my Walmarts are shit. Like, they're not going to order any more Power Rangers toys. Apparently, they think the two figures and then the half figure that's been, like, beaten with a baseball bat is good enough forever. Like, it's fine.
I still need the Oviraptor and Archelon. I still have yet to see those.
Oviraptor's a slippery son of a bitch. Like, I only found the one in, like, all the places that had the, like, the Archelon Oviraptor wave. I was always missing it, except for that one that I found back at the first place I found him, which I don't know how, but, like, I swear it's a conspiracy.
And most of that, like, wave of Series 2 Dino Chargers are, like, on Amazon, along with the silver Dino Rider with the Zord armor. And yeah, I'm probably gonna order that. The Titanocharge Megazord, because I haven't found that yet either. I haven't ordered anything off of Amazon because I don't have money right now. But
I still need to get that Tommy communicator. I think it's in his gym bag. I just need to check.
I need to get everyone's the dead, one, but I don't care enough to find it. But yeah, I think that's it. I feel like I'm missing something, but I'm looking around and. Well, that HLJ box had, like, a really awesome Snorlax plush in it.
But Snorlax. That was terrible.
It was a bunch of Ultraman stuff and then a Snorlax, so. Describes my life pretty accurately.
Ultralax sounds like a laxative, now that I just said it.
Ultralax.
Not Ultra, Super Mega Lax. Like, that's when they introduce the new one that'll really get you to go. Jesus, what are we even talking about now?
You know how it is. anyway, I'm just gonna Pokemon Go, of course. That's
okay.
Been consuming a lot of my time, and I feel like a game has. Oh, I started Hoenn. Finally.
Oh, I still haven't picked mine up in a while. I might just play regular Pokemon Experience.
I'm sorry. I've it paired off exactly. I ended the video. I started Hoenn. In the face. Brian, look. It's a little Asian guy, and he looked completely terrified. And so when Brian said, I started Hoenn.
I love inside jokes.
I look at the face.
I hope one day be a part of one.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
I also just realized just how funny I started Hoenn sounds.
You started it before Johto, so.
I'm Hoenn it alone.
I started Hoenn.
I'm Hoenn home. I'm Hoenn home.
So I started that on Emerald. Me and Mudkip are hitting the streets.
Oh.
I picked Mudkip because all of my Hoenn playthroughs, I always pick Treecko or Torchic.
Yeah, mine are all Torchic in a series of attempts to do a Mudkip unevolved run, which never worked. I don't know why, because I've been able to do, like, the unevolved, like, Ash run, but apparently not Mudkip. Can't do it.
Poor Mudkip.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see how long that would take, because Johto took me, like, fucking...
Yeah, I kind of hit a Four snag. Months. I'm trying to decide whether I want to continue or not burn myself out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm like, right. I don't know. I'll see where we get.
So for my one-ups, I have two huge things to talk about. Number one, most important, is stop what you're doing right now. Like, if you're listening, just turn it off, smash your computer, and go watch Stranger Things, because it's amazing. It is amazeballs. Do that now. Number two, if you're still here, why aren't you watching Stranger Things? But whatever.
Maybe they already watched it.
Maybe they smashed their computer, like I said, and that's how they watch Netflix. So, sorry. you'll never guess who I got an email from. That's what you're supposed to guess. At least, like, one pity guess.
I don't know. Snorlax.
Oki.
Oh?
Yes. So... I was sitting in the eye doctor waiting for the doctor to come in, like the actual doctor, so it took a while. I didn't see Tenet or no, anyway. But so I'm like, oh, let me check my email, kill time. And so I go in my email and he sends me an email as if nothing happened. He just says, hey, your box is ready. Is there anything you need out of these selections do you want me to put in it before I ship it out? Like, where the fuck have you been, sir? The upside down? Like, have you been kidnapped? I sent a search party out. There was missing posters. Like, I drew a picture of a dude with pink hair and a surfboard and put it around Colorado and said, have you seen this middleman? Like, and then it just says, cause he is lost. You know how he writes. And so, I didn't know whether to address the awkwardness. So I didn't remember what I had in the box or what I still had pending because before we stopped contact, I kept asking for a spreadsheet and he never sent it to me because I lost mine when my old computer died. And the last email I sent him, I asked him to put me down for that special Geodra vinyl set and the premium Newton and Kimiko, and he never messaged me back, and that was the end of it like 6 months ago. And so I said, hey, can I get a spreadsheet so I know what's pending and whatnot? And he says, all you have is what's in this box and there's nothing else yet pre-ordered. And apparently he did put me down for that vinyl set and the Kimiko Newton set. He just didn't care to let me know he did it. And I'm happy because he would always wait to stockpile like 3 or 4 months worth of figures to make it worth it. But like there was always contact in between. So, but it's been even longer than 4 months. But like there's about the average amount of stuff that would ship. So like I'm glad I didn't like order a figure of Chaser or even though I probably could have gotten it cheaper, the War Game Omnimon, because I had been eyeing a couple of them on like Amazon and Mandrake and stuff. But so I got those and stuff. So the only thing I'm missing that like I thought I ordered was a proto drive, but whatever. But so apparently I'm still in business, so I'm gonna pay him once he sends me a total.
Proto drives like Tamashii release, I don't even think came out yet.
To be honest. Oh, it didn't? Oh, okay, because I was looking around on his site for a pre-order for later when I didn't see it, and then I went to go look at the toiler schedule on Shugenshinobi.com.
You poor soul.
I didn't find anything there. I messaged him about after I paid him or told him to send me a total. I said to put me down for Grateful and Necrom, which I didn't think I was going to end up getting because I was blacklisted. I still don't know what I'm doing about the Digivices, but
are you going to get the Tamers one or?
I'm not sure. Like I wasn't, but then like I was considered it when I was cut off because it was like something you can't have, you know. Like, I think I was looking at the listing again, and I was actually thinking, like, what we talked about is I might wait and see if they announce the gold one, in which case I would go for it, because I never had that version, and I do have, like, at least 2 out of the 3 colors in the regular ones. I'm not sure. Didn't they announce, like, a card set or something?
Yeah.
I want that, so I don't know. Like, it
has Takato's lunchbox or something.
Oh, shit. I'll have to maybe ask him for that, because, like, maybe after I message him again, I'll see about that proto drive and the card set at least. But I'm happy that happened. It was funny as hell, but like I'm glad. I don't buy nearly as much exclusives, but it's nice to know that I don't have to like either go crawling back to Rider Proxy or like Mandarake everything. Even though sometimes you can find it cheaper. Mm. Like sometimes it's just nice to like message him and know you have it, not worry about it. So yeah, that happened. That was like the biggest thing outside of Stranger Things.
He's still patiently waiting for my money.
And I did catch up on Fear the Walking Dead, and it was okay. It had some improvements over last season, but it's still kind of dull, and I'm still disappointed what they're doing with the era, because they introduced yet another character that was like Herschel in the beginning, where he's like, zombies are people. I'm like, why are we doing this again? So... I don't know. If you want to catch up on that before the season 2B comes out, maybe we'll have something to talk about, but I don't know, I just like had extra time and like it was leaving on demand on the 21st, so that's why I decided to do it.
No.
But I don't know. It was all right. And I think that's it, cuz other than like Batman vs Superman getting here, I haven't bought much. I started, after I finished Dishonored, I started Watch Dogs, which is actually pretty neat. It's basically Grand Theft Auto with hacking abilities. So, like, when you're on the run from the cops, you can just, like, put up, like, a medium or something, and then, like, just a psychic just reads their future, like, distracts them. But it's actually pretty cool. Like, I'm not that far into it, but the hacking stuff definitely isn't, like they said, as intuitive as they would have made it seem in like the early trailers, but it still adds some neat elements, like in terms of being able to do a whole mission basically just from hacking a camera from outside a building and using a series of traps. And like, you can hack a dude's camera on his cell phone, and like, if he walks near the computer you need to hack, you can just hack it and you never have to go into the building. It's kind of neat. But yeah, that's pretty much been it. Basically, Stranger Things. Stranger Things also just falls into what happened when Oki emailed me. Like, I was like, what? What? Because I thought he was pissed at me, because I told you about those interactions I had with him where he was annoyed that he said he had to keep asking me if I needed things, even though he was coming to me asking me about things I never asked him about because I didn't want them. So I don't know. But I'm back in. I'm back in the club. I'm cool again. Not really, though, to be honest.
Whatever you need to tell yourself.
Yeah. Well, at least I can get, like, Digivices if it happens, or anything else Digimon or, like, Complete Selection happens or anything. That was really what I was worried about, was anything like that that would be, like, uber expensive. Because, like, I was browsing Mandarake for the war game versions to see what prices were, and I saw, like, how crazy expensive the Complete Selection Anniversary Digivices are or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, with figure arts, you can always find that one, like, even if it's, like, a figure going for more, you'll find that rare, lower price. But, like, certain things, like the Complete Selection and the Digivices, you just sometimes can't.
Yeah, anything Digimon, pre-order, because it, like, gets really high in price later for whatever reason.
Yeah. Because I was, like, really bummed about the Omnimon thing. I'm like, this is a Black War Greymon all over again, and, like, it wasn't even my fault. Because I know I told him to put me down for that, and Chaser, I knew that. So, like, I just assumed, since I didn't pay him for him, because he's, like, a bro and just let you pay right when it happens, or was a bro, and then wasn't, and then is again. It was, like, basically just, like, really a lot of angst, really. It's like a love triangle. Miyoki and his pink wig, really, when we think about it. But, so, yeah, that's... Bottom line is, just go watch Stranger Things, because it's really good. Like, really good. All right. Now it's time for the entire lack of news. I mean, absolutely nothing happened after we recorded last week. Next week.
I know. It was so bare. It's not like there was a giant convention and a whole new Kamen Rider toy catalog. That didn't happen at all.
And since we're recording this right at the start of Comic-Con, like, inevitably, despite the fact we have quite a bit of news to talk about, there'll be, like, even more that we don't cover, like, relevantly until next week because of when we record. So, like, if there's a movie trailer or any Flareo news or anything that comes out of the panels or whatever, we won't be getting to that till next week. Because I was just thinking, like, how irrelevant is the podcast after all these X8 scans hit?
So. Always irrelevant.
So, what should we start with, then?
Let's do the X8 stuff last, because I think that's the most to talk about.
Okay.
So Comic-Con's happening right now, and obviously there's Power Ranger shit at Comic-Con. No Ninja Steel whatsoever.
It's fine, we know what it looks like.
Yeah. I'm completely fine with that. I don't really care. I realize they're probably pimping out the movie because that's what people want to see. And
yeah.
Saving Ninja Steel for Morphicon because it's going to be the target audience. Well, not target audience, but the people that would care about Ninja Steel.
Yeah.
The people at Comic-Con don't really give two flying fucks about Ninja Steel. So.
Because didn't we not have the toys for Dino Charge until Morphicon?
No, they had the toys at Comic-Con because that was the first time we saw the purple Triceratops. Everyone was flipping their shit.
Yeah, that's right. Because they fixed it at Morphicon.
By the time it came to Morphicon, it was painted over.
Okay,
really
bad
pink paint.
That's what it was. Because I remember there was something like significant about their display, and it was that whole drama. Oh,
I never got to see the purple Triceratops.
No. And after all the repaints they did, we didn't get a one.
I know.
That would have been pretty funny. Like, instead of the green one, they just did a full-on purple everything.
But in terms of, like, normal Ranger stuff there, there was nothing new for Dino Supercharge. There was a display, but there was nothing new there. Only thing new was, I think it's clear Red Ranger that's, like, at Walgreens or something.
Walgreens exclusive? What the hell?
Walgreens is getting a ton of toy exclusives now. And it's really weird.
It's because, like I said, it's because of, like, all the begrudging toy hunting you have to do when, like, it's the last resort. So they're like, hey, people coming for toys. I'm like, yeah, because we have no choice to hunt down these stupid Legendary Ranger figures there.
Because, like, Star Wars Black Series and Marvel Legends and stuff get Walgreens exclusives all the time. It's
really I was going to say, at least it's not something significant, but given how many there is to check, like, it would be okay, actually, if it was something significant, like Kalen Ranger or, like, I don't know, female Aqua or something if we use it. Because, like, they're easy enough to check. It's just kind of a pain because it's, like, an oddball thing to check compared to usual stops.
Yeah. But other than that, they had a really cool-looking display of the Legacy figures. And a lot of them we've seen already, but they showed off the full teams for Mighty Morphin, which includes Green and White. The three core Ninja Storm Rangers. I can't read anything else because Mammy decided to step on my space bar. the full team of In Space was there. And then the Build-A-Figure Megazords for the Dino Megazord, the Astro Megazord, and the Storm Megazord. And they all look really, really cool. The Build-A-Figures look really nice.
Yeah, the Astro Megazord looks really cool. I'm, like, glad to have a figure of that just because it's my favorite Megazord. And
yeah, like, the Megazord I don't care as much about because, like, I got the Retrofire and I've got the Super Robot Shogokin one and stuff. But it still looks nice, but the Astro Megazord has always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And to have, like, a really neat posable figure of that is just really cool. Plus, it looks great. It's nicely proportioned. Mei Mei's knocking shit over.
It's classic Mei Mei and shit mess around. But the figures, too, are pretty well proportioned, and I like them a lot. I mean, whoever they hired to pose everybody really needs to, like, sober up, but
yeah.
I don't know what's happening. It's, like, worse than the Barnes & Noble people, honestly. Maybe it's this, they're one and the same, probably.
Probably. But, yeah, they all look absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to start collecting. And at the very least, if the line does go to shit, we know we at least have these three.
Yeah. I'm still, like, fully expecting it, too. I think we'll go a little bit farther into it, but, like, I just don't see us completing it. I hope I'm wrong, but given the track record of these things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at least, like, In Space is a really good one to have that we'll probably, like, are guaranteed to get, because they definitely need updates. And we also got, there was, like, physical versions of the helmets there along with the power jammy dodger morpher or power coins, which, like, apparently we've been looking at the green one this whole time because it's on Rita's staff, which is really funny. It's like shit moment.
Like, it's insane. Like, just the knowledge that we have been able to see what the movie's using as power coins, which do look exactly like Jammy Dodgers.
Yeah, but they do. All right, it's a Jammy Dodger, but I was promised tea.
But, like, just the fact that we've been looking at it this whole time, and we all just thought, oh, it's just a gem in Rita's staff, because Rita's staff normally has a gem. So yeah. It wasn't out of the ordinary, but it's actually the green power coin. So, I mean, we kind of figured she was using, like, the green ranger energy because of how close her armor is to the actual ranger suits.
Yeah.
But this is, like, full-on confirmation.
Yeah. And like I mentioned to you, it wasn't until I saw the power coin that I really started looking at her head and, like, the way her, like, head design stuff is grippy, kind of like the helmets, like this. All the helmets have an almost, like, it looks like a claw gripping the back of their head, and that's kind of what hers looks like. Like, that's a really cool idea, and I'm, like, really curious now that it's more or less confirmed about how she got it, whether she was chosen and was like, lol, I'm evil, trolled you, Zordon. And then Zordon's like, I'm the one who knocks. And then, you know, they just do Breaking Bad stuff. And but, like, how that'll work, like, whether she would ever fully morph at one point, like, who would get it, whether they would do an idea like that fan film did where green and white exist at the same time somehow.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having, like, a green guy that joins the team, like, what if Rita just becomes green and they create white to counter her? I don't know. But, like, it's, I just really like all of the different takes they're, like, spinning on this.
And we get, obviously, some really good shots of the helmet designs. And they look a lot better than the previous renders. there's still a lot of flatness to them I'm not entirely fond of. Black's helmet still looks off to me.
I like the more I see him, just because I think I like him a little bit more that ever since I, because like the first time I saw him, I didn't read the blurb because I hate reading. But like ever since I read the thing about the alien thing, that makes me like him more because I like that sort of alien-ish quality to him.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's commenting on how like, oh, they're really narrow and they're really flat, and like it's because these aren't really helmets. They're like made to fit the actor's head.
Yeah.
So like if like Yellow, for instance, looks really, really narrow. And I mean, I haven't really stared at Becky G's skull to know
she has, you know, a narrow head.
But like these people are all gonna have different sized heads, and so the helmets are all gonna be a slightly different shape, and they're not like a big ol' honkin' helmet like we got with normal traditional Sentai and Power Rangers. These are like fitted to their actual heads because it's like a fitted like alien suit thing. So yeah,
it's like Star Kid, basically.
It's a really neat different take on it, and the Power Quins are kind of whatever. They're very strange looking, but
yeah, I kind of like part of the way they look because they look like ancient alien technology, but they do look a little comedic at the same time. Like yeah. There's all kinds of dessert jokes to be made.
Like, they do legitimately look like cookies. But
I'm curious how the morphers are going to look. Or if that's just it. Do they just, like, hold Power Coin up like a Jammy Dodger? I don't know.
There's definitely a... Well, I mean, it could just appear on the suit, but there's definitely a morpher of some type, because if we bounce over to the next little bit is the fact that they showed off the 6-inch Legacy collection of the movie figures. And I think it was Ranger Crew that posted it. I think they did say that the toy line is for the movie is going to be pretty big, and there will be basic, like the normal, like $10 figures or whatever for the movie. But the ones we're seeing are the Legacy Collection figures. And if you look on the waist, you can kind of see where the little Jammy Dodger would be. And it's surrounded by, like, a silver Power Morpher-esque looking thing, except it kind of, like, it's losing a lot of detail. It looks like just this swirly bit.
But, okay, because it was hard to tell even from the suit pictures, so that's why I was curious. I imagine they would, because they wouldn't give up on that toy.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Like, I'm just curious how it'll vary.
But the figures themselves look... I mean, obviously, you're looking at, like, a hand-painted prototype. Nothing's absolutely perfect. The plastic that they use on these is always really shiny and stuff. So it's going to be like a lot more different. Yeah, that was grammatically correct. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. It works for me. Granted, I'm like anyway, a low bar, but
it's going to be different once we get the final product. But just looking at even these prototypes, like, these are some damn good sculpts. The paint is a little bit to be desired, but I think that has a lot to do with the design of the suits as well. But, like,
I think it'll be fixed up.
Sure. Getting close to some of these pictures, particularly in the yellow suit, it's really easy to see, like, all the dot patterns and line work and everything that are in the actual sculpt of the figure. Look absolutely great, and I now that I see it on the figure as opposed to the CG render we got, I'm really digging the little glowy bit in their chest.
Yeah,
that looks really cool on here, and all the silver line work looks neat, and everything just looks neat.
Yeah, and like just the design of the suits in general lends really well to the figure, because like you're not having to make any muscles or not muscles or anything, and it covers well. And like, I'm looking forward to seeing the final versions, and I hope that they add the quality to, like, the paint or the plastic that gives it that sort of kind of shiny look the suits have. Like, bam! Someone just got smacked.
It wasn't me.
Clearly, you're using Cat, obviously.
Hey, can you snap on the dryer again?
Yeah. Snap it on.
Thank you.
Snap on the dryer! Yeah, like, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the stuff about the movie in general, both, like, in the design and the toys and, like, the story potential that we're seeing, and just a lot of neat stuff.
Yeah, like, it... Like, I... I understand slight pessimism, but, like, everything about the movie right now is just really hitting all my buttons. I like it a lot.
Well, and especially since everything else is such, in such a rut, like, and that they're doing so many different things, it's just nice to see, and it's like this beacon of hope.
Yeah.
I can't imagine me not liking it anyway, because I'm, like, this crazy heretic that, like, likes everything that everyone hates, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, so.
I mean, even if it's bad, it'll still be better than the original source material. I mean, like I said, you have to try. Like, there was no storyline. It was just
exactly.
It was stories about charity. Who wants to watch that? So, done for Comic-Con.
Yep.
Now on to... I think X8's the only thing in this part of the news.
Yep, that would be... Well, the Buzz Lightyear robot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That came out online.
Alien toy arms.
So it was... We mentioned it when we mentioned the Woody robot, that they were teasing a secondary robot that was based around Buzz. So here I was thinking, like, it's just going to be, like, Buzz Lightyear that transforms in maybe a spaceship or whatever. Kind of like the
like
old
attachment.
Disney label toy did.
Yeah.
But it turns out that, like, Buzz actually has his full, like, team, sort of. It's a 4-piece robot that, well, technically a 5-piece, sort of, but it has, his space shuttle and the rocket that he gets taped to in the first movie. Those are kind of treated as 1-piece. And then a 2 set of aliens from Pizza Planet, and those will become the arms. And then the spaceship kind of becomes the body. And then Buzz Lightyear himself becomes, like, looks like he kind of becomes the front, like, waist section. Poor Buzz. Buzz kind of gets the short end of the stick when it comes to his own robot. But that is called the Buzz the Space Ranger Robo.
On point. Brilliant naming, as usual.
On point naming scheme. But it looks fantastic. The head is really cool looking.
Yeah, it is. And, it's
and I like it a lot. And then you can combine Space Ranger Robo with Woody Robo. And you make... I don't get the pun, but it's Gone Great King.
Gone Great...
And I'm not sure where they're getting it from.
I don't even know either. I'm just hearing the words gun and great.
Maybe someone can explain it to me in the future. But that's what it's called. And it is a glorious monstrosity. Ham and Bullseye are legs, and then the aliens now make thighs. Rex is an arm, and Slinky Dog holding the rocket is another arm. Buzz and Woody kind of make up the chest along with the spaceship. And I think those are all of the pieces. And so it's great. I went from, like, kind of on the fence with the Woody robot to I want both with the Buzz
robot. You're going all in. I'm all in, son!
I'm being stared at. What?
What is it called again?
What, the Woody Robo?
The name that you said that you didn't understand.
Gone Great King.
I just realized how like dirty the Woody Robo sounds.
I know. Woody Robo has all sorts of sexual connotations to it. But I don't get Gone Great King.
It's gonna say King for the pizza place, but Gone Great King,
I don't know. The illustration for it looks cool at the very least. You get another storybook with
Yay,
Buzz.
Story time.
So we all know that's what matters in life, is getting a free storybook with your toy.
You know, that's right.
Unfortunately, as of right now, there's no, like, updated video. Like, animation is still the old one, so I'm waiting for, shit, there is a new one! I didn't fucking click it.
Sitting there talking out of your ass, Brian.
I am. Well, there's a new video. Go watch it.
That's probably why there's so much, like, shenanigans going on over there, honestly.
It might just be an updated, like, ending. Oh shit, no, it's a full-on new movie. Space Ranger Robo! Look at that little fucker, comes and beats the shit out of Trixie.
Classic Trixie.
Oh, I completely forgot they... I don't remember if we mentioned this or not, but it was at, like, one of the last Thomas...
Is there a reason why Nathan Drake is in our couch?
Wait, what? What is going on over there tonight?
His belt off. His holster's off. Is there a reason why there's a partially getting nude Nathan Drake in my couch?
At least it's a pretty good thing to have in your couch.
True.
Stripping Nathan Drake is not the worst thing you could find in your couch.
No, it's not. But I'm just curious.
I'm going to assume that one of the animals knocked it down, or it just fell because that statue leans forward so incredibly much.
This is true.
I'm just going to assume that your animals are sexually attracted to Nathan Drake.
Who isn't sexually attracted to Nathan Drake? Let's be real.
Honestly.
Stupid people.
He's basically the white Diggle.
But anyway, so Toy Story. Sorry. Yippee.
Toy Story and Nathan Drake and Brian's couch. This podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a great episode.
So much interruption.
okay, now the big ticket. I don't know. It kind of depends on your opinions on things. But we have finally like a full-on... Because I think the vinyl figure came out like right after we recorded or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like the very next day, and then this stuff hit the day after that.
Yeah, and so we never actually got to even talk about the vinyl figure leak, but full-on XA toy catalog is fully out and available to witness. And boy, it is something.
It is very much something. Like, when I saw the vinyl, I thought it was fake. Because I never want to jump in on anything when it's, like, a first blurry image, because, like, I've been tricked before. But, like, he is certainly a person. I sort of get what they're going for now that I saw that person made the video game cover, that he looks like a video game character. But I did not, like, he's way out in left field for sure. Like, he's got, like, a full-on cartoon face. It's happening.
Yep, it's,
He looks like the enemies from Mega Ranger.
He kind of does. I saw your tweet, and it's accurate. He is full on this, like, pinkish purple color. From what I have heard, he is supposed to be pink. But exposure settings on some of the scans make him look very purple. But from what I gather, he is supposed to be very, very pink and very neon green. And it looks like he's wearing biker shorts, and it was pointed out to me today that it looks like he's wearing Velcro shoes.
I didn't even catch that.
He basically is a rider version of everything in the early 90s.
No, please, God, no!
And it... Yeah, it is. It's definitely something, and he's got like his own face on his back, I believe, because you can kind of see it in this picture here. At least the spiky hair bit, and the way that the gimmick figures work, you can kind of understand why that is. But it is I hope it's a positive thing, because the vibe I get from these pictures is the same weird-ass vibe I got when Gaim first came out. Like this...
I hope so.
This what the hell is this kind of vibe. This is a lot weirder than Gaim was, but I like a lot of what I see, particularly in the other two riders.
Yeah, I really like them.
Page. X-Aid is... His default form is Action Gamer. And the two other riders shown off in this catalog are Kamen Rider Brave, which is Quest Gamer, which is RPGs. And then we have Kamen Rider Snipe, which is Shooting Gamer. And they both look really cool, and it was kind of like the same vibe I had with Gaim, and the fact I like how different everything looked. Because yeah. Quest has a very, or Quest, that's his gamer type. Brave has a very like knight sort of design, and he's blue in color. He looks like a knight, and Snipe has sort of like this weird dark blue and yellow vagabond-esque design.
And he's got like one of his eyes covered. Like, it's just kind of really unique.
Yeah, and so both, like, all three of them together look incredibly different from one another, and I love that a lot. And the scans show, like, a full set of five different riders at the start. One of them is more than likely going to be a villain, which is Kamen Rider Genbu, and he is just a black version of X8.
And for whatever reason, like, the suit works a little bit more for me with that. Like, I think it looks kind of cooler. Maybe yeah, it's because, like, I'm a sucker for those recolors, but...
Yeah, it's a nicer color scheme. It's a little bit more easier to take seriously. despite the wacky anime hair.
Yeah.
And then the other rider is Kamen Rider Racer, and he's actually a bike.
And he's like a little dude in a bike.
Okay, so each of the riders have a stage or a level 1 and a level 2. Level 1 is like this little chibi little digital character, and we're not really sure how those function quite yet. They could be like an avatar in like a gaming world on the series, or they might be a like a helper like personality that comes out when they activate the driver at first.
Could be a form of schizophrenia. They just talk to him. Like, we don't know.
I don't really know. So the level ones are these little chibi things. And then they combine with the human or whatever the case may be, because again, we don't actually know, into level two, which is all the base riders. So you have X8 and Brave and Snipe and Racer. But Racer is a bike. His level one is just flat out a bike, and I assume it's probably X8's bike. I don't know for sure, but and then the level threes are when they use two of the Gashutes at the same time. That's the collectible gimmick. And so they use two of those at the same time, and then they get to level 3, and it summons like a little buddy robot, and it turns into armor that goes on to their level 2 form, and so they level up and they get more armor.
And that's actually like the turns gimmick for the change figures, right?
Yeah, and that turns the bike into an actual fucking person. So it's like,
you
it's
know
like
how it
some
is.
Weird weird mutated Autovision sort of thing. So those all look really cool. The level 3 forms all add something onto their base. So like it's a robot action gamer and beat quest gamer. And then we have a combat shooting gamer.
At least it wasn't the beat questers.
And Chanbara. Yeah, Chanbara bike gamer is Racers. And then sports action is Genbu's. And so they all add an additional genre on top of the genre they already were. So it's
the genre
neat.
Mashup. Nailed it.
Classic genre and genre mess around.
Perfect.
So they all have their things, and of course the gimmick figures are going to have at least X8 is, I don't know about the others, because they are 1,000 yen cheaper than, or not 1,000, that's only 800, right? 700 difference,
yeah.
In price, but X8's shown to have a little, like, plastic shell that you can, like, bend the figure into to make its level 1 form, and then the base figure itself is the level 2 form. But the other three figures, Brave, Snipe, and Genbu, are cheaper. They're only 3,500 yen. So they might not have the little plastic shells. I don't really know what's going on with them. But on top of the Level Up Rider series is the gimmick. So you have 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the riders. 7 is the bike character, Racer. And then 5, 6, 9, and 8 are all the little robot thingies that become the armor for the other characters. So, like, right on here on the main scan, it shows the little red one, which is the robot gamer, and he unfolds and becomes armor for X8 in the action gamer mode and becomes robot action. It's neat. It's a, like, a nice little mix between, like, arms change and just having an action figure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, and I assume you'd be able to put the robot one on, like, Brave if you wanted to, because I can't imagine them not having that sort of cross-compatibility that the gimmick figure is always known for.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense for it all of a sudden to be restrictive or something.
Yeah, so that'll be really fun. Those look neat. The driver itself is the gamer driver. It is very Nickelodeon in color scheme.
Kids Choice Awards, just like the Megazord.
And so that is sort of like a video game console sort of design, and you take the little gas chutes, which kind of look like a mix between like a gun and a computer chip. And those
I read it originally as like gas hats or something like
that. Yeah, because that's how it's spelt. It's the actual Japanese pronunciation is gashuto, which is apparently the like the onomatopoeia word for like putting our cartridge into a machine. And
Okay. So
like they're romanizing it as G A S H A T or something along the lines of that. And so mentally I always read it as gas hat.
Yeah, because it's like, is this like a spin on the insult of asshat? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. All I can see is asshat all the time. So, to try to circumvent that, I keep wanting to say gashoot instead, because that's more along the lines of the Japanese pronunciation. So, I'm going to stick with that to prevent myself from saying gashat all the time. Because that would be bad. But you put in, the, like, the one, and it goes level 1 to level 2. And then you insert the second one in the second slot, and you become level 3. And the gashuts are supposed to have their own sounds, so we're finally back to that. Thank God.
Yeah.
The
icons could have been so much more.
Oh, they could have. Don't even get me started on that again. Sorry. Like I don't know if it's gonna fulfill my need for the gashut to say what it is when you hit a button. I hope so, because that's what I need in a toy, basically.
And I want the voice to be cool.
Yeah, the voice has to be cool. That's a for sure.
No crackheads, please. Stay over in Sentai. All the mental patients, do the voices over there.
Yes, please. So you have all that going on. Of course, there's going to be like a belt holder attachment thing, because there always is.
You know how it is. And you didn't have one this year, though.
Yeah, I know. It was really weird. It's kind of a cross between. It would have
been perfect time to make a contact lens case that hang down from the belt. You know, just put a couple icons in there.
Well, that would have been hilarious. You have to put water in it every night.
That would be really funny.
It's going to be like a cross between a typical like gimmick holder and like the maximum drive slot from the double driver.
Oh.
Because it's going to have a main slot in it, and when you put the gashoot in there, it'll activate the final attack. But then also has two empty slots to hold more. So it's kind of like a little combo thing going on there. And that comes with the bike character's gashuut. So that's why I assume like that bike is Xaid's bike. But I don't know. We'll see. And of course you can buy all of the gashuuts on their own, just like Loxseed's. So Braves and Snipes you can buy all by itself. Genbu's sports one. As by itself, the robot, the beat, and the jet, and the hunter is like the middle power up thing. It's the Drago Knight Hunter gashuut thing, and that is it's a shared power up. I don't know if they're all gonna get one, or whether they're gonna pass it around, or not. But yeah, all of them have like the same hunter plus whatever their base genre is for their level 4, so to speak. So it's some sort of shared power-up, which is kind of neat. Ryder doesn't do that too often.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, just awesome. Like Gaim, you have the Gashakon weapon series. And that is the Gashakon Breaker, which is Exade's sword and hammer weapon. And, like, all these have big A and B buttons on them, and it's fantastic. Braves is the Gashakon sword, I think. And it has two different modes. It kind of looks like a fire and an ice mode. Snipe has the Gashakon Magnum. And that is... Didn't one of the SPD guns do this, like, fold out like that? Or no, I'm thinking of the Ixa one. But it folds out.
Oh, the
out.
Rising gun? Yeah, like, yeah. The phone that folded out?
Yeah, it folds Rising. Out to make, like, a longer weapon. And the bike's secondary form, its actual, like, humanoid form, his is the Gashakon Sparrow, which is a lot like Wild Chalice's weapon. It's a lot like that. It's like it's a like crossbow a slash sickle thing.
Pretty common, really.
Pidgey is a sickle.
Crossbow
thing.
Sickles.
And Genbu's is the one I can't really figure out. It's the Gashakon Bug Visor. I don't know what the fuck that is. Is it like a windshield?
Yeah, it was that
weird one. I don't really know.
It was like a what you like cut out like right when you said that.
Is it like a windshield? Is that what a bug visor is? I don't know.
He's got like a really lame power to just protect himself from like fly guts when he's like on the go. You know how it is.
I'm trying to figure out if it's like a wrist mounted weapon because it kind of looks like a strap. I can't really tell what's going on here, but it's his weapon.
Do you know what his hair
was a weird.
Gembu's? Yeah.
Freakazoid.
Oh my god.
I've seen people say that before.
Now that you can unsee that, you're welcome.
My first thoughts were like of a digicross between the Mega Ranger enemies and an Akiba Ranger with the hair.
Yeah, yeah, that's crossed my mind too. And I think that that's everything. I just talked a really long time.
I think that's everything we have so far.
One thing I do want to point out is because that bit of news didn't really get spread around a whole lot, and it's not on any of the pages that I'm looking at. I'm on Tag Hobby right now looking at the scans. It's not on any of these, but there is going to be a promotion at the start, which will be I'm hopefully reading this right, but if you buy the Gamer Driver, you will get a Exade Ghost icon.
Oh.
And if later on in the line, I'm hoping it's an or situation. It looks like if you buy the Gamer Driver or one of the Weapon Series toys, you get the Proto Action Gashute, and that is the one that Genbu uses to transform. So his is going to be like a promotional bonus. I'm sure there'll be like a candy toy or something of it.
Yeah.
Because I doubt they'd go without making like candy toy or Gashapon versions of these things. But so we'll see if it gets one of those. But it's the only way to get the DX one at the very least.
So only those two way to get the legit one.
Those two promotions will be going on. Also, real quick, speaking of Exade, from what I understand, again, I might be wrong because there is no concrete information on any of this, he's supposed to be in the Ghost Summer movie.
I imagine.
Just like Ghost did, he's supposed to be at the very end of Ghost, like a special episode thing again. Hopefully it's better than Ghost's appearance in Drive. That still makes no fucking sense at all in the timeline, but...
It's kind of like a really, like, sloppy, more direct version of the cool shit they did with, like, seeing the O-Metals at the end of Double.
Yeah.
That was still really cool, like, back when they were actually trying to have a shared universe that worked out, and this one's just kind of more, like, shameless self-promotion.
basically.
Hey, kids, in case you decided to throw away your TV after Ghost ended, don't forget we have a new writer coming up.
So jumping back to the toy catalog, I like a lot of what I see, because, again, not only did the suits give me that same impression when Gaim started in terms of, like, the what the fuck, the toy layout of the line itself is almost a carbon copy of Gaim's toy line, and that worked really well, so...
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the show can, despite how goofy everything looks, retain a plot for longer than two episodes.
Yeah, like...
That would be fantastic.
I'm, like, very... Every year I get, like, more cautious, and I feel like right now I'm the most cautious, because, like, it's just been such a letdown lately. I mean, I guess Drive actually did turn around, but, like, I think Ghost really burned me, not, like, in a really pissed way, but it's just, like, I love his suit so much, and I love paranormal stuff, and, like, it baffles me that, like, if you were to tell me that, like, years ago that a show about paranormal writer would be boring to me, but I would end up liking the one about cars, I would never have guessed. But, like, despite XAID looking kind of fugly to me to start, like, the first suit, like, I get what they're going for, and I do like a lot about everything involved in it. Like, I really like the other two writers. I like the concept around a lot of the things. I mean, I love video games in general, and the fact that we're finally getting a video game like Toku is really neat. But I'm, like, really cautious about, like, the show. Like, I'm hoping if I'm just super pessimistic about it, then it'll surprise me. But, like, I really just want it to be good. Like, I mentioned on Twitter when they first came out, I'm like, I really don't care how the suits look as long as the show is good. But I feel like for the toys, I'm going to end up getting the gimmick line, because I feel like that's one of my things. And I want to just maybe get the Driver just to have it, of, like, the main series. But, like, and then I was realizing I'm basically sounding like an addict. Like, yeah. Every year I go through this where I'm like, you know, I just got to keep me straight, you know, just so I can concentrate, you know? It's just like that new series excitement. Because I feel like even if right now I had the resolve of, oh, I'm not even going to get it, I'm even like, it looks cool, but, you know, I'm just going to, like, save my money. But, like, as soon as you see the pre-order button, you're like, pre-order, pre-order! Because it's just like an instinct.
I've been there.
It's like, you gotta win! I did it! I pre-ordered! And then you just start crying. It really is like an instinct. Like, even in the times when I've decided not to get something, my heart skips a beat when I see that pre-order button. It's a disease, honestly.
It is.
I feel like I'm a goner if the voice is cool. Or if the show is cool, I guess. When's the stage announcement show when they give us plot details and stuff, and, like, Ankh comes out and, like, there's a flamingo outfit? You know?
It should be... I'd have to check when Ghost was. I think Ghost was really late. It's starting on October 2nd. So I think that's, like, okay, a week earlier than Ghost was. I don't remember exactly. So I would say we would probably have the little press show sometime in the middle of August, maybe?
Didn't we find out about O's the first time at that press show?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, like, how sporadically random, like, they've been in terms of, like...
That is not something to Google.
What'd you Google?
I wrote Ghost press show. That's not gonna get me far.
Oh god.
Maybe.
But yeah, because, like, I remember O's, like, we found out about everything the same time the show happened, and I remember Gaim's was like right after we saw that poster. I don't really remember Drives, to be honest.
That was the first time we saw Gaim. Was the poster from the press show?
Yeah. Oh, was it? I thought it was like. Maybe it was like we saw the poster first and then the press show rolled out, so it wasn't like all at once.
Yeah, we saw the poster from the press show, and then, like, I think that night the toy catalog started leaking.
Yeah.
And then we got, like, full details from the press show a couple days later. Ghosts, at least this J Fusion article, was posted on August 19th.
Okay, so we got maybe roughly a month, give or take, depending.
So I would say, like, probably in 2 to 3 weeks, we'll probably be getting more information on, like, cast and plot. Usually there's a plot. Well, that's usually with Sentai, I guess. So usually there's a plot in the catalogs, but actually there is a 2016 Kombita
game. Kombi's gonna be in it?
This might actually be a synopsis. No, probably not. There's too much katakana in here for it to be a synopsis.
Yeah, because, like, we usually have to wait till that stage show, because I always distinctly remember the Oves one, because that was, like, the first time we were covering it. And, like, we got, like, the stuff about Ankh and the girl that ran the cafe and whatnot. Because everything looked so, like, all over the place. Wasn't she dressed like a pirate or something at one point?
They're like, why aren't you dressed like a pirate? This is,
like,
weird.
Ankh had the fruit roll-up arm. Like, it was just all over.
Ryder's always a lot to take in at one time.
Yeah, it kind of is. But, like, I'm
especially
eager to find
with
out
little
plot
context.
Yeah, that is funny, because, like you said, with Sentai, we get it almost right away, but with this, is kind of like choose your own adventure for a bit. But, like, because I'm really eager to find out plot details about it. Because we're starting with multiple writers, obviously, but, like, I'm curious, because it would be the perfect type of series for, like, a Gaim level or, like, Ryuki level, because of, like, the idea of more players, depending on what kind of series it is. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm wondering if it could be, which I've been wanting for a while, is another series like Agito or Blade, where you focus on, like, 3 or 4 guys as, like, the main characters. Which I guess kind of Gaim kind of did.
Gaim had a lot of characters, but most of them didn't actually get any focus.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know whether we're going to go with that or...
Like, the way that this is lined out, like, you have Xade, Brave, and Snipe. Genbu is more than likely going to be a villain character.
Yeah.
Or an anti-hero, at the very least. And, I mean, the bike might have a personality, but it's not going to be, like, a fully fleshed-out character, I wouldn't think, so...
What if the bike guy was the villain, and then, like, the dark guy, or the dark Xade is actually, like, the mascot character instead? Like, they just totally switch it up. He's just, like, a total goofball that just follows him around.
It was a lot to take in at one time. And there was a lot of transcribing I had to do that night. Because I wrote down everything from the toy catalog. I wrote down all the writers' names, all their forms, all the toys, all their release dates, all their prices. I got
it. It's a busy night for Brian.
It was a very busy night. But yeah, the only oddity in the entire catalog that I can see is that for some reason, and it could be an error on the catalog's part, the sports gashute that Genbu uses to go to his level 3 stage comes out in September.
What?
The show doesn't even start yet. I mean, there are some things that come out in September. The vinyls for Xade Level 1 and Xade Level 2 come out in September, but Ghost did the same thing because of the appearance in the movie and the appearance in the show in Drive.
Yeah.
So that wasn't, like, all that weird, but, like...
And then
that's,
you have
like,
stuff like when they combine gimmick sets, like the
Omedals,
and, yeah.
And so, like, this one random guest shoot is, like, labeled as coming out in September, and I'm like, why?
It's gotta be some sort of mistake.
So, we'll see what's up with that. I don't quite understand that. I don't know what to do about it with the toy schedule that I will promise I'll update.
Yeah, get those exclusives going. Like, I hadn't checked it in a while because I haven't been monitoring exclusives since I thought I was burnt, and, like, all I remember, like, that I wanted was Necromon Grateful, and I couldn't remember anything else that's been announced. There isn't much anymore. But
maybe that'll be my homework tomorrow.
There you go.
Probably not.
The way I am with almost anything. Tomorrow I'm going to do this, this, and this. Wake up. All right, I think I'm going to start the day with a nap. executive decision.
There's a lot of cool going on, there's a lot of what the fuck going on, and I am cautiously optimistic. I just, like you said, I just want a good show. I want a good show and cool toys. At least it's giving us something to talk about during this drought. Yeah. So we should hopefully be getting some more information pretty soon.
I think I mentioned last week, I don't remember if it was pre or post or during recording, but like it's kind of sad that like the most exciting part of Toku shows currently is that honeymoon phase when the scans come out, and like when you're getting the toys when the first few episodes are there, and then it's kind of a wash after that. Because like this is the most exciting part, and because you always have that like optimism of like nothing has a face or a storyline yet, so it's kind of exciting and new, and nothing can disappoint you. And
don't disappoint me, oh pink gamer. Dude.
Pink Gamer? Kamen Rider Pink Gamer, that's gonna be his Americanized name when we bring it over as Power Rider, Power Ranger Pink, or Power, God damn it, I can't even speak. Going home. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. I just slammed their door downstairs. People are trying to not sleep here, brother. Okay. So, what are you doing? It's 1 a.m. I'm trying to watch TV? Okay, so, now it's time for
superhero time. Yep.
Is it though? Yep. Is this week's Ghost up to date?
Yes.
Okay, because I wasn't expecting it to come out, and then I saw it like
it. It came out, quote unquote, on time this week.
So. Yeah. So. Because I was surprised, because when I checked like on Monday or whatever, like it was just Georgia, and I was assuming Ghost wouldn't be up in time, but it was up today. So, yay? Question mark? Not really. But, okay, Jojo, it's been a minute, so I'm trying to remember. I remember that, like, Jojo the World was doing his bit again.
There was a lot of Jojo the World's bit,
and how he relates to Tusk because they both hate themselves.
Yeah. Which, I can totally relate to that.
But just manifests in different ways.
That's one of the reasons I hate Jojo the World is the fact that I respect him as a character because I can totally relate, but I hate him because he's a punchline.
Yeah, so like,
it's this very love-hate relationship I have with Joe the World.
Yeah, because, like, I hate that he was turned into a goofy punchline so soon after being a badass. And, I agree with that, too, where it's, like, that part of his, like, self-loathing is very relatable, but the fact that they're making it a joke makes it, like, less relatable. Mm-hmm. It's just very frustrating. Like, the episode was overall okay, but I just find myself disgruntled with the decisions about him. And I was thinking about this comparison. I was trying to think of, like, what, like, his bit is, you know, the self-loathing and feeling guilty about just doing anything. And then, like, Star Ninjas was, like, the selfies and, like, the hunting and whatever. And then you had, like, Rokugo, who was kind of a parody of, like, brooding Sixth Rangers. And, like, it was, like, creating this pattern that I was trying to think of, it reminded me of. And it reminds me of what we were talking about last week with Pokemon, with all of the side male characters just being a catchphrase. And I feel like that's what the Sixth Rangers have turned into, and, like, that kind of annoys me. Because they're usually, like, were my favorite part and usually had some of the meatier stuff. And now it's, like, they become a bit. Just kind of annoying. Rokugo had more to do, to be fair. Of the three I just mentioned, I think he had the most to do. I mean, that I cared about. Star Ninja did do some stuff, but like he was just so annoying that he was talking over his own story. But yeah, like I hope it improves with that. It's just kind of a stark contrast. I'm trying to think of a time where like a badass character became comedic. Like imagine if like Aubrey Killer was done now. Like, he would be good after, like, four episodes, and then he would, like, turn into a bit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, It is what it is. Like you said, the episode was okay. That's really... We got introduced to plushies.
Yep.
He's a skilled craftsman.
Probably the actual strangest introduction to, like, pimping out a toy, now that I think about it.
And we also had the introduction of Cube Komori, who, like all the other ones, was just kind of haphazardly found.
Yeah. Like, hey, look, he likes friendship, and he was in this cave.
He likes friendship. It was actually just Gentaro. He was in the cave.
Gentaro turned into a bat in his second life.
But Kyukumori's cool. I dig him. I dig the living Batarang. and so we got him, and we had our first battle with, like, we had our first battle with all 13 cubes, not combined, but everyone was in the battle.
Next week.
See all three robots and all four weapons.
They stood next to each other.
Ah.
Something I was thinking about, actually, since, like, next week's the debut of, like, the combined mode, is, like, I honestly would have rather, instead of taking them their time now getting to the... Oh! What's happening? Okay. I just got hit over the head with a bag of rocks, sorry. but, like, taking their time now getting to this final combo, I would have rather them kept him evil for longer, and then just done, like, the... this final combo, like, as soon as he turned good. I wouldn't have mind them rushing that at all and just spend a little bit more time with him as evil and stretch that out a bit and then just do, like, bam, final combo immediately, because I kind of care more about the character than... because I'm so used to sort of rushed introductions to things anyway, and it's not like there's any real significant build-up to this combined mode, really, that I feel is benefiting from making him turn good so quickly.
Yeah, in this situation, it's kind of like, it is what it is. I don't really like what he's become, or what he will be in the future, because I don't think he's going to change a whole lot.
Yeah.
And I do agree, I would have liked him to stay evil longer, or at least have a better story arc, like we've talked about before, like him having to prove himself to the Juman. To regain his strength in those categories or something like that, instead of just turning good and then turning into a, like, pessimistic character. Not really even pessimistic, but just self-loathing character that he is.
Yeah.
And not really have any sort of plot line at the moment, because, again, we are 20-something episodes into the show and we're still nowhere.
Yeah.
Which, like I say every week, is an absolute shame, because I love everything about this show except for the fact that it doesn't have a plot.
Yeah.
Like, if you just take everything about the show and put it into, like, a paced series like Kyuriger, perfect.
Yeah, because it could have been, like, the perfect spiritual successor to Kyuriger in terms of its structure.
Yeah.
Kyuriger had an excellent balance. And it's frustrating, Jewel of the World, because... it's frustrating, Jewel of the World, because that was really, like, just taking out all the words. Well, like, it makes it more frustrating because his evil plot for, like, those three episodes really did kick things up for a little bit. And then, like, I was worried, like, exactly what's happening is happening, as it just kind of doled out again, literally. So, we'll see. We can just keep hoping and being disappointed. That's life. The world is a nightmare. Listen to the world, literally. Too far.
The next episode preview showed them, like, sitting on the ground, like, stacking the cubes on top of each other. I assume trying to figure out how to get them all to combine. And it was really funny, and I can't wait to see it, like, in the actual series, to see their expressions and stuff. But that was a really funny little scene from the episode preview.
They're gonna use the stacking for their blueprints of the final combo. They don't know it yet. But that's going to be the legs.
But yeah, that was Geoger.
Yep. Ghost finished up this Freaky Friday plot.
I had a blank expression on my face throughout this entire fucking episode.
Because
everyone is still a goddamn fucking idiot.
My favorite part was when he was still trapped in the monster's body and he got up off the grass and waddled away like Sledge. That was my favorite part.
I love the suit acting for the, like, the crab gun miser thing when the dad was in the body, because it was always so goofy because he didn't know, like, how to walk. And it would just kind of waddle around and fall over. I'm like, you're adorable. What?
Well, it's a really odd-shaped monster, too. Because, like, you get, like, some wider monsters, but this was, like, purposefully odd.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was two guys in the suit with, like...
It's like one of those horse things.
Green screen tights. on their other leg, and then it was edited out in post. Because I can't imagine being in that suit with only one leg and being able to, like, walk. That wouldn't have been something that's really capable of being done.
Yeah, you would just keep falling over comedically, honestly. Like, it's really a weird choice. Like, I like different thinking, but it's just, like, I can't even think of an older series I've watched that did such an odd shape.
Like, it was one of the first instances where I spent most of the episode trying to figure out how the suit worked.
Yeah, like, and it certainly wouldn't make for some very dynamic fight scenes. You're just kind of a giant target for a bunch of final attacks.
Yeah. And poor Takeru, or not poor Takeru, but Takeru and Spectre keep attacking the poor dad.
I know.
I'm like, guys, stop.
They immediately rush to judgment. Racists.
And I like how, like, when the God Miser's in the girl's body, it turns around with these purple eyes and fires a shockwave. But then the dad shows up as the God Miser and, like, it must have been him.
Like, he did it through her somehow.
Bitch, her eyes were purple.
Oh, so dumb. Was anything advanced in the larger plot? Because, like, Ghost is just, like, a filler with, like, a couple...
At the very beginning in the cold opening, which is apparently something we do now in the show, Alan's sister woke up and then they kidnapped her again.
Oh, yeah,
she woke up and her human body woke up and they're like, you're gonna stand by here and watch me take over the world.
That was, like, on point for Adele. And, there was, like, stuff sort of, I guess, leading into the movie stuff with Spectre's dad or whatever.
Okay, hold on, let's talk about that for a minute. We get the mentioning his dad, Spectre's dad. Last episode, he's like, oh, my dad sucked. And then he just kind of kept repeating it this episode. Like, every other line out of Makoto's mouth this episode was, my dad sucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's like, oh, Tucker, your dad must have been great. Here's Makoto in the background. My dad wasn't.
And like, Karu's just like, I'm sure he had his reasons for sucking.
Your dad sucked. And fucking Alon's just like, oh, I'm just thinking about my brother that died of illness. No, he's conveniently the main villain of the next movie. But yeah, I'm just thinking about him.
We're just thinking about these people we've never really brought up before until now, but, yeah. You know. Like, so, segue movie-ish show, stuff. And, like, I forgot that. Because I don't really care so much about the movie stuff going on other than loving Dark Ghost Suit. But, like, I didn't think about the whole that they did that, like, sort of tie-in and then, like, almost prequel-y scenes at the end. Because I remember I was into Drives. What they were doing with that. But because, like, I started fast-forwarding to get to the preview and, like, I realized I missed something. I'm like, oh, shit, I have a couple extra seconds to watch now? What are they expecting of me? More homework? And I don't want to do the extra credit.
It's really confusing because I don't really know the circumstances. Like, the hermit guy has, like, got a plan, and I'm not trusting him at all. Because I didn't really trust him in the first place because he freaked me out. But, like, he gives Alon's brother the ghost driver, and Spectre's dead.
Yeah,
I assume is like, you guys need to do this, and it's like, oh shit, they're not doing this. The plan's falling apart. Blah. That I never spoke of whatsoever until this exact moment in time.
Even though Drive's movie didn't end up being as cool as I thought it was, the lead up and, like, segues to it were a lot cooler.
Mm.
And, like, a little bit more thought out than this. Then, hey, did I ever tell you I had a brother? I have a dad.
Yeah. I have a dad. He's garbage.
I mean, and he just spent, like, 10+ years wandering around a forest in cyan tights. Just doing nothing. He kept saying he was running from Fury, but I think he was just watching America's Got Talent, to be honest. Fury's off the chain!
And I had a thought in my head. I lost it during the America's Got Talent joke.
Sorry.
Um, Oh, it was completely unrelated. It was about Drive.
Oh, all you need is Drive.
No, I was watching the Chaser movie. The other day with Jeff, and like they, Bono appears like at the very end, and like he mentions the fact that Krim didn't go nuts, and so he was like, oh, he must be in a different driver. And I'm like, hey, good on you guys. You remembered plot points. Because the Chaser movie, like, takes place in the middle of the series.
Oh, yeah. Well,
toward the end of the series, but it's, like, episode 41 or somewhere around there. So, like, they actually remembered certain things that were going on in the story accurately. Yeah. I'm like, good job on you guys.
You did it. G-Man Unlocked. I should probably watch that soon.
If they have to do Returns movies for Ghosts, no one's gonna know what the fuck they're doing, because the show was Ghosts was everywhere at one time. It was all over the place.
It'll take place in the middle of the series where all of a sudden Alan's like, hey, did I ever tell you I had a cousin? And then Spectre's like, hey, I had an uncle. He sucked. And then you have two new Returns writers. Boom. Enemies.
Fucking Ghosts.
And Takaru's like, hey, did I ever tell you I have another colorful shirt?
So many colorful shirts. Holy crap. Whatever.
At least there was no boost in this episode. I was like excited that he used the regular form.
Well, I know. And it was really funny because it's like Necrom, Orei, and Deep Spectre, because he doesn't have the Spectre icon right now.
Yeah. Gets mad at him. Because his dad sucked.
The Spectre icon ran away and was like, my dad sucks. He doesn't use me anymore. Keeps using my older brother.
This is apparently the year of the dads. Alright. I think that's it. Unless there's anything thrilling to say about Ghosts.
No. It would just be me talking about how much I think it's stupid.
We have, like, 8 more episodes. Probably 6 of them are filler.
Probably. I know we're going to be in for at least one episode. It's probably going to be 2 again. Of Beethoven.
It's just, like, at this point, Drive was not doing it.
The preview showed Akari being possessed by Beethoven. And Beethoven's the only icon he hasn't connected with.
Makes sense.
We need to get that hot Beethoven.
The hot Beethoven action on here. Lay down those fat beats. Literally. Speaking of fat beats, now it's time for
ramble time.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
So this week was that thing where Serena pretended to be Ash and fought a Pikachu enthusiast. The Pikachu's name was Spike. And I was thinking throughout the episode, I remember the first time I saw like the picture for this, like Serena, that I was kind of wishing it was like a fake, like, hey, what if, like, Gwen 10 episode, like, what if Ash was a girl or something? But it's not. It was just Serena pretending to be Ash and, like, using his lingo, like, Iron Tail, let's go! And then, like, Bonnie almost messing it up because she's a numbanuts. Numbanuts. She's a numbanuts. She turns Italian when she insults herself. I don't even know what's happening. Bonnie. But I like how
Bonnie is and ever will be.
And, like, they smartened up, like, a few scenes later, but when they first were watching, like, the Ash about, or fake Ash about to battle, and they're like, oh man, if this Pikachu beats Ash's Pikachu, we'll steal him while he's weak. I'm like, if this Pikachu beats Ash's Pikachu, why don't you steal the stronger Pikachu? And then they realize that later, like, hey, why don't we steal both of them? I'm like, hey, why don't you go home?
Like, hey, why don't you stop?
Like, just can we give up? Like, I kind of miss in Unova when they, like, took a break on him a little bit and they weren't in every episode.
That was nice.
Like, it was kind of weird that they all of a sudden decided to have him be serious for the first half of that series, but it was nice that they doled him out a little bit. Like, I don't hate their characters, but I think that it does get annoying. It's, like, one of the most glaring repetitive elements. And, like, if you doled them out a little bit, like, in the beginning of Unova, it would actually make it a little bit more tolerable. honestly, like, we know none of the stuff we ever say about the anime, like, restarting protagonists or anything is going to happen. But, like, it would be nice if instead they just had kept, like, Brock or one of the, one like, one staple member. And then instead of keeping Team Rocket, we just had a plot revolving around that region's villain group, you know, being more prominent throughout the series.
So kind of like what they do, but better. Like, have the team have an arc, but have the arc last longer than, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah, because, like, lately it's been, like, the team will appear, like, twice, and then they'll have that specific arc. But instead, just have it be like the game, basically, where they just pop up every now and then in his adventure and just make them more prominent. And then you have an actual different story every time. And just do that, because you don't need every in the episode being like, all right, let's finish up this plot. Oh no, the mouth balloon!
Oh no, what are we gonna do?
Like, if we're not gonna make a series like Origins, can we at least just make better use of the rotating enemy teams?
Apparently not.
Yeah. But, on to more exciting Pokemon news. We had another little batch reveal, which included the names for the previous two people we talked about last time, which Mimikyu kept his name, but I love the name Beware. It's, like, deliciously punny.
It's punny and perfect. Like, not only is it punny, it, like, just describes him perfectly.
And, like, I never even realized how big he is. Like, because, like, the way he's designed, he looks like he would be, like, a maybe up-to-your-waist Pokemon, maybe, or, like, he just looks, I don't know, I just expect him to be smaller for some reason. Not, like, smaller, like...
Holy fuck, he's 6'11"?
Yeah, like... like, obviously big enough where, like, that whole crushing thing is true, but, like, just his design is just... I don't know. It was, like, impressive. But he's growing on me. And I love his name.
It's easily my favorite name. Of, like, all of these. It's the best.
Even if, like, he does look like he's, like, not really a bear and he's wearing fake ears to pretend he's a bear or something. I don't know. That could be a story.
I don't know what's going on with him, but the name is on point.
And then the other ones we got are the Pokemon I don't think I've ever felt more sorry for is Wimpod. a bug water type who has an ability which, like, it's probably making him really annoying to catch if he's, like, has any kind of high catch rates. Because, like, he runs away once he gets past a certain amount of health. I mean, it could be kind of strategic, I guess, but what if you don't want to use... What if you want to use him, but you don't want to use that ability?
You hope he evolves and loses the ability.
That would be nice. But, like, I do like him, because I feel so sorry for him. Like, I just want to hug him, but I feel like he'd be really awkward to hug, because he's, like, flat-ish. But, like, look how sad his eyes are.
Poor little guy. He looks so out of the world. He's like I'm just done.
He's just, like, the most, like, pessimistic Pokemon of all time, just thinking the absolute most depressing thoughts you could think of.
So he's pretty interesting. I feel like he's gonna evolve... and I kind of feel like he's gonna evolve, like, Gyarados-esque. Like, his base form is, like, this wimpy little thing, and he's gonna evolve into some, like, badass bug.
That would be cool. Because, like, I like the idea of, like, the Magikarp stage actually having something unique about it other than just being weak as hell.
Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of... That would be cool, actually. That would be really cool. And then Bounsweet is, like, reminds me of, like, Cherum and, like, Hoppip, like, if they had a cousin.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what this thing is, except it has an incredibly depressing Pokédex.
Wait, I didn't even read it, because it exudes a delicious smell.
Yeah, it says, because it exudes a delicious smell from its body, Bounsweet is a popular Pokémon. With the people of the Alola region, Bounsweet's scent has a calming effect on humans, so many people let them live inside their homes as a sort of air freshener. Unfortunately, it's sometimes swallowed whole by Pokemon drawn to its aroma.
I forgot about that. I did read that. In my headcanon, they spit it out, realizing it was alive, and they didn't kill it. Just to like make things like nice.
And it gets worse by saying, when running away from other Pokemon, Bounsweet flees danger by skipping along the ground. Since its bouncy movements don't convey to others that it's actually in desperate flight, no one ever comes to its aid.
Jesus! I didn't remember that part! How is he so happy? He should have Wimpod's face! Wimpod's got it easy! These two need to talk! And Wimpod could just be like, life sucks. And Bounsweet's like, oh yeah! Let me tell you about life! Like, Jesus, I want to hug both of them now. Just want to take them all home so that they're safe.
We have Comfey.
It's like comfy, but if you're like super pretentious. Are you Comfey?
It's basically the Klefki of this generation. Yeah. It is a living lay. unfortunately, I don't know why I said unfortunately, it has this really cool ability called Triage, and it has it set up to where, like, healing moves gain highest priority, so, like, even something like Extreme Speed, which normally goes first, like, under any circumstance ever, if you used, like, I don't know if it would work for something like Giga Drain or not, but, using, like, Moonlight or Recover or something like that, that's a healing attack, it would automatically go first. So if they can't one-hit knock you out, you can just, like, keep spamming recovery.
That would be super annoying. But, like, also, its design also kind of reminds me of, like, shit, I'm losing the name of it now. The Pokemon from Gen 6, like, rides on a flower.
Oh, Floette and...
Yeah, Regis, like, it kind of reminds me of that. Flabebe. Give it as the fairy, too. Yeah, Flabebe, there you go. Lost it. And then Lil Sebastian, Mudsdale. And what's funny about him is when I first saw him, I thought, oh man, we're finally getting a horse Pokemon. And then I remembered Ponyta, and I'm like, how could I forget Ponyta? Your literal only other option in Gen 4. He's like the second choice, the Pokemon. Like, not Mudsdale, but Ponyta. Like, it just... I don't know why I forgot it, especially since I'm playing Pokemon Go, and I found a couple recently, but yes. He has a pretty interesting-looking design. It's definitely a bit odd. He's wearing, like, weird stocking giant socks.
Well, yeah, because that's what Clydesdale horses look like.
Yeah, but, like, it just... It looks interesting. And I can't tell, like... Oh, like, it's really funny, like, in the picture... This part of his hair, like, that's on the other side, like, it hangs down right by his nose, so it looks like he's got this weird secondary nose part. You see it? Like, when I first saw it, I'm like, when I first saw it, I was like, why does he have a double nose?
Does he have two noses? Kind of looks like a tongue.
It does. But it was just like, it's just like this weird trick of the way it's drawn. But, I imagine he might be one of the ones you can ride.
I would imagine. It'll be interesting to see how and why, because it says... It's somewhere in here. Or not. I'm skimming it and I can't see it, but I read somewhere that it is... it's right here. It says, when Mudsdale gallops in earnest, the power of each hoof clop can dig out huge holes even in asphalt. Mudsdale is forbidden to run on some of Alola's public roads. Can you imagine just, like, riding around on Mudsdale and all of a sudden you have to get off because the Alola street signs are like, no Mudsdales.
Sir, you're gonna have to exchange that for a Ponyta. A what? I thought this was the first horse Pokemon. What's a horse? That's gonna be an anime episode.
Finally, Mimikyu is a thing we talked about before, and the one thing that we did learn is it has an ability called Disguise, and it's basically like one free substitute. So Mimikyu can get attacked, and the like cloak that it's wearing, like the Pikachu head, just kind of goes and then slumps down, and it's so sad to see. you get a free hit, so that's kind of cool. Like, I don't actually think Mimikyu's going to be strong enough to really, like, go places and excel, but having that ability is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to end up using one in my first playthrough because it's... I want to hug it, and there's so many Pokemon here I want to hug.
I know, they just have all really, like, sad stories. Apparently Hawaii's really depressing in the Pokemon universe. Like, and it said something about in his description, like, he has to find a new disguise or something. And I feel like... Did we talk about that last week about imagining it, where I think it would have been a cool idea if it was, like, maybe it didn't grant it different abilities necessarily, but it was almost like Rotom, where it had different disguises. Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I was, when I read that part of the description, I'm like, that would be cool. Like, what if you used the, like, your ability, and then, like, he comes back and it's all of a sudden, like, a Bulbasaur or something?
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Although I do like the idea of him, like, just trying to be Pikachu all the time because Pikachu's so popular.
Yeah, like, I love how meta the description is. Like, the rising popularity of Pikachu-style merchandise around 20 years ago is the reason that Mimikyu makes itself look like Pikachu. It's like, because it really looks Pokemon like. Came out, and we spammed Pikachu all over the fucking place.
I wonder how many, like,
to be Pikachu.
Casuals or, like, people, like, thought this was, like, this generation's, like, Pikachu clone.
Oh, probably
like,
a lot.
Like, because I imagine there's a lot of people that, like, saw this and, like, didn't even see the eyes at the bottom. And, like, they're really getting lazy now. Just drawing a shitty Pikachu.
It's just drawing a shitty Pikachu.
Like, just like I'm inside the mind of the Gen 1ers right now. A terrifying place to be, honestly. It's just all nostalgia and bubblegum. I don't know why bubblegum. I couldn't think of another thing and I panicked. Well, see, it's, I really like just getting these batches of pokes.
Yeah, it's really fun because, like, you just wake up and, like, all of a sudden, oh, there's, like, 5 new Pokemon. It's like, whoa.
Like, we still have, like, a relatively small amount considering depending on how many we're gonna get, but, like, I'm still, like, holding out hope we're gonna get some evolutions of past people.
Yeah.
Because all we've gotten so far is new, which isn't bad, but, like, they're taking a while. I also really want to see the starter evolutions. I saw something on, I think it was PokeJungle, about, like, there was some, like, credence lent to those rumored final evolutions because of, like, something else the guy confirmed that, like, ended up being true, and, like, he was asked to take stuff down or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a series of coincidences, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't want those to be true. As much as I like Rowlets, I don't want the Rowlet to be true.
Yeah, like, it's not... I don't want it to sound sexist, but, like, I just don't see them going that effeminate for the final version for Popplio.
Yeah,
like,
it's, and like, way extreme. I also don't see him going that way with Litten. Like, it's just kind of absurdly weird and another firefighting.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Like, it would be cool if Rowlet was somehow true, but then the others weren't. But I like, really want to see him. Now that I said that, though, it's probably going to be true. But just, because, like, it just, other than maybe, like, Delphox to an extent, like, they're never that, like, you know, to one side or the other.
Yeah.
Because Delphox, you know, got the whole witch thing going on, but it's still kind of more neutral, and it just seemed, like, so one way. And even, like, even though it is a bit to the extreme, the design for, like, her and then the design for Rowlet looked more, quote-unquote, normal, whereas, like, the Litten one does kind of look, I hate to be, like, one of those people who says it doesn't look like a Pokemon, but it, like, looks like a cartoon, like, Tasmanian Devil, like, Wrath Ben 10 type thing.
Yeah.
Like, it looked, like, especially in the pictures, like, I can just hear him saying, let me tell you something. So, I don't know. But, like, I just want to... Like, I want to see everything, but I also don't want to see it all at once because I like just getting, like, little, like, DLCs of Pokemon.
Yeah, we'll see what our next bit is. I'll only touch upon it briefly because it's going to end up being a very long conversation if I start rambling onward. But ignoring that for a second, they did announce that you can, like, make your own friendly competitions. So, like, you can host a tournament through Global Link with your friends. Which is something that's really cool. Like, it was always something that you could do, just normally organizing it and, like, pairing people up and messaging each other and stuff. It was always something you could do, but being able to just sign on to the Global Link and go, okay, I'm gonna name it this, here's the QR code I can give out, and people can register through that, and I'm gonna send it to my friends, and we'll have a cool tournament. Like, that's really neat. I dig that a lot. Like, making friendly tournaments more accessible to people is really cool. And speaking of accessibility, okay, so competitive Pokemon's always been judged by EVs and IVs, and I don't mean the Pokemon. and for anyone like
I'm
listening,
not talking about Poison Ivy either.
For anyone listening that doesn't know, EVs are effort values, and those every Pokemon starts with like zero. It's a clean slate, and then as it defeats other Pokemon, those Pokemon give off effort values, and they go into your Pokemon. And you can, like, raise them in certain stats by focusing on certain Pokemon. Or you can use the super training feature, which is generally how I did it. But it's a longer, tedious way of doing it. But that's how I did it, because I could fuck it up less. and those will give stat boosts to your Pokemon. So, like, if you give them, I think the max EVs was... God, I don't even remember off the top of my head now, but it's been so long since I actually did anything. And so you could raise, like, you could train it in attack EVs, and it would raise the attack higher than what it would normally be. And so those were fine and dandy, but then there's also something called individual values, and those differed by Pokemon. Like, you could breed five different Totodiles, and all the Totodiles would all have different IV spreads. And those... in the same vein as EVs, determined, like, how strong your Pokemon were in those specific stats. And that was always something that you could influence by breeding mechanics. Like, the male parent gives off, like, the effort values, or the female, or not the effort values, the individual values. And it, like, took them from both parents. And so if you bred enough to where you had, like, egg groups of, like, each Pokemon with, like, five or six full IVs, you can basically breed anything you wanted that had, quote-unquote, max IVs. And it was a long, tedious process to get a competitive Pokemon in that regard, like, that you could take to, like, nationals and stuff and actually stand a chance. And it was tedious to the point where there's software like I think PokeGen is one of them or something, that you can just create the Pokemon and it loads it onto your game through a little piece of hardware. And so, like, the competitive scene is filled with people that hack the Pokemon into their game because they don't want to do the work. And that is what it is. But they introduced, in this trailer, they introduced something called hyper training. And when you reach, your Pokemon reaches level 100, you take it to this dude. And, like, you give the dude bottle caps, and it will make that Pokemon have max individual values. And it made the entire, like, competitive scene, like, flip a shit. Because you had a bunch of people saying how it was like, oh, this is letting hackers win, because now they're just going to hack bottle caps instead, or whatever. I don't know. It is what it is, but I wanted to give my two cents on it. I think it's really cool. As someone who still doesn't fully grasp the concept of breeding for individual values, this is great. This is a system where you can play your game... and as long as the Pokemon that you catch have, like, a nature that you want, or something like that, you can catch whatever you want on your team and move along through your game with the Pokemon that you pick, the team that you do start to finish, And then you can take those Pokemon, run them through this hyper training thing, because Lord knows you're probably going to level them up to 100 in some fashion anyway.
Especially if and, you use the XPL.
Yeah. And so the team that you started the game with and finished the game with will now have an IV spread that makes it slightly, at the very least, be able to go toe-to-toe in a competitive environment. And I think that's fantastic. You start these games, you get attached to the Pokemon that you pick. Like, that's a common thing. And of course,
yeah.
By the time you're finished with the game, it's like, okay, I have these Pokemon, I love these Pokemon, but if I hopped onto a battle spot right now, I'd probably get my ass kicked. But now, I mean, obviously you might use some Pokemon that just won't really stand a chance against other Pokemon. Be real.
Yeah.
But at least by being able to do this bottle cap thing, you'll have a Pokemon that at least has an IV spread that can go up against something that's possibly hacked or bred. And a lot of people are flipping out because it, like, ruins the legitimacy of everything, and everyone that put so much work into everything is now washed away, and everyone's flipping out over a system we don't know enough about yet. Like, all we know about this is that there's a thing called hyper training. It uses bottle caps to manipulate the IVs of your Pokemon when they're level 100. That's all we know. We don't know how to get the bottle caps, how easy they're going to be to get, how many times you could do this. We literally know nothing, and everyone's flipping their shit. But,
you know how people are.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Chris on Twitter, and he was
just like, blimey, bollocks, and just said a bunch of British stuff, and he's like...
It was just so overtly British all the time.
Sunny Jims? I don't know.
Sunny Jims? Is that a thing, or...?
One of the things FX says, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just trying to think of the most British thing possible.
But this opens up competitive play to a lot more people, and I feel the only people that aren't excited about that are people that feel entitled that they're competitive Pokemon players and they put all the time and effort into all this, and that these people don't, so they don't deserve to be able to stand a chance. And I think that's a very very obnoxious mindset to have when it comes to a game like Pokemon. And so I'm very optimistic about this hyper training thing, and I look forward to finding out more about it, and I hope this opens up competitive battling to all sorts of people, and it can be a lot more fun and inviting and not the big kind of cesspool the video game community is right now. So thank you, Pokemon. I appreciate
it. Like, and I don't
mic drop.
Know much about, like, quiet mic drop. Just, like, you politely sets it down. Just, like, and, like, straightens it out. Like, you know, I'm sorry, let me just put that back on the stand for you. And then just walks away. But, like, I don't know much about, like, a lot of the competitive scene other than, like, various things I see through videos and, like, a lot of the stuff you were just talking about. But, like, I like the idea of it being more accessible to people, because it's shitty in any multiplayer game. Whether it's a physical board game or card game or video game or anything, where you feel that there's no way you can, like, stand a chance or catch up or anything. Kind of like with Pokemon Go, you know?
Yeah.
Not to that extent yet, but it's like, you figure, why even try? And, like, I get from a certain perspective, like, I wouldn't feel so much like, oh, these people don't deserve to be in, whereas I would just be like, shit, I wish this easier method was around before I did all this work.
Yeah,
because that stuff's happened to me before. Yeah, but like,
I completely understand their, like, that sort of thing. Like, I would hate it if I dumped so much into getting, like, a big breeding pool in order to pull this off, and then have this thing come around and go, "Oh, hey, here, if you give me some bottle caps, I'll do it for you." And I understand that. Like, I get feeling like that, but at the same time, I think as a fan, you can't help but be a little bit excited about the possibilities that this could bring to more casual players.
Well, yeah, like I said, like, if I was one of those hardcore players, and that's the only reason I would be upset, I wouldn't be mad at the new people because they didn't do anything. I would just be like, I guess if I did it a long time ago, but like if I just finished some sort of task, then I would be like, god damn it, it's like right on there. That would be me. Like, you would just finish doing all this hard work and then they implement an easier system. But, like, it's better in general just to be a bit more inclusive with that, because Pokemon is such a popular thing that I imagine lots of people of all ages getting excited about diving into like more of the metagame afterwards, but then being discouraged by it because it's just too complicated and too convoluted and there's just too much involved. And I mean, honestly, what we should really take away from this is that this is the start of using bottle caps as currency, like in Fallout. We need to watch out. That's really what's happening here. It's actually a cross-promotion with Fallout. Generation 8's going to take place in the Wasteland, apparently.
Oh my god.
Well, we have our first Generation 8 Pokemon, Yongoose. So. Confirmed.
There's a lot of crap going on in the VGC community right now, and I sit in the sidelines and watch because I don't do anything with all this. Like my one, like I've got I think about roughly two teams of quote competitive Pokemon, and I didn't even do those myself. My friend Dave did them all for me, so. I don't know shit about the breeding mechanics. Like it's fucking convoluted as shit, and so having this alternative method will be nice. And from the sounds of it, like it's you have to level them up to level 100, so it's gonna take time. So those people that have good breeding pools and stuff can still probably breed a 5IV, 6IV Pokemon a lot faster than you could by using this method, so I don't see what's wrong with it. It's just an alternative way to do it.
Yeah. And I know exactly what you meant about, like, being attached to the Pokemon. Well, most people do it, being attached to the Pokemon you go through the game with, but, like, because I haven't ever tried to raise any competitive Pokemon, but there's been Pokemon that I've raised, like, post-game for, like, the post-game or just for whatever random project I was doing, and, like, they're just not that same level of, like, attachment you get as to the ones that go through the journey with you.
Yeah.
So, like, I totally get that, because it's like you said, you look at all these Pokemon, but you're like, well, now I just gotta, like, put them all in the box and start training these guys up and breeding them and, like, planning their genetic future like some sort of crazed futuristic lab. This is how
rancid. Yeah, that's what I hate the most. Like, I understand the concepts, not even really the concepts, but, like, how it works. But there's just that awful feeling of going, like, okay, here's 100... Mudkips that didn't quite have the right IVs or natures, well, they're gonna get abandoned.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh.
That's basically like what Pokemon Go is. Level 12 scum, transfer. God only knows what Professor Willow does with these Pokemon. He probably eats them. He's basically that ape guy from Drake and Josh who ate the apes, or the orangutans.
But yeah, I think it's great, but I don't know, people will have their opinions, but
between this and the whole, like, various entitled Go fans, it's like a lot of entitlement going on right now.
The Pokemon community is just a lot of entitlement.
The only time I get annoyed at, like, the new players or whatever is when they, like that guy we met in the park, I was calling him plant type, like, okay, you're casual, fine, lol, it's funny, call him a plant type, but what made him annoying is he was, like, talking really cocky, like, he knew a lot about the game, like, he was, like, you know, just, like, bragging the shit. I'm like, dude, you're calling him plant types, and you're bragging, like, you can't do that.
Like, that was the issue I had with the guy that I had at the pavilion, which is just a little seating area that at my complex, that's one of the Pokestops near me, and, like, I'm just sitting there, and, like, I mean, everyone knows me, like, I hardly ever initiate conversation because that's frightening.
No, that's right.
And
team introvert.
So I'm just sitting here and I'm farming for Pokeballs and whatever it is at the stop. And like there was one other group. There was like a group at each. There's four tables. There's like a group at each table. And there was like a guy with his daughter there. At one table, and the daughter kept going back and forth to the other table talking to this dude's girlfriend. And so they were talking back and forth about how in an update they can add. The guy said, well, I hope in an update they can expand and start adding Ruby and Sapphire.
And the guy with the daughter just kind of goes, well, yeah, they do gold and silver, and then they can do ruby sapphire. And, like, the other guy was so insistent. He was like, well, no, they do ruby sapphire first. That came out before. And the guy's girlfriend was like, no. Gold and silver came out first. He's like, no, ruby and sapphire came out first. It came out 3 years before we did here in Japan. First of all, none of the Pokemon games have that long of a span, even the first ones.
Yeah.
The span of original Red and Blue and our Red and Blue was 2.5 years, which is an incredibly long time. Ruby and Sapphire's was only 6 months. So I don't know where 3 years came from.
How did you think the Game Boy Advance games came out before Game Boy Color games is really the question.
I don't know. So I spun around and go, no, they didn't. I said, yes, they did. That's where you said the 3 years thing. I said, no, Gold, Silver, and Crystal came out on the Game Boy Color. Gen 3 was Hoenn with Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, Fire Red, and Leaf Green, followed by Gen 4 with Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, Heart Gold, and Soul Silver, and so on and so forth. What ticked me off was before that, he told the guy with the daughter to get up on his Pokemon.
Get up on his Pokemon?
He said, y'all need to get up on your Pokemon, because Ruby and Sapphire came out first, and that's when I spun around and said no.
Oh, jeez. Like, oh, hell no. Brian, like, snapped his fingers.
First
like
of all, proper English, bro. Get up on your Pokemon is not proper.
That sounds like a euphemism.
And
honestly.
And, bro, you're just fucking wrong. Like, No, you don't do that.
You're done. You're done.
This poor guy with his goddamn daughter just sitting there trying to collect items. You're gonna tell him that he doesn't know the order of Pokemon games when you're fucking wrong.
So just go out there and start trolling people. Do you know that Diamond and Pearl came out before Red and Blue? Like, in the future, like, you know, DS games came before Game Boy games. Everyone knows that.
Red, Blue, and Yellow were actually the second Pokemon games. There was a group of Pokemon games that came out in Japan that never came out here. Called... I don't know what to call them.
I don't know. I'm running out of names and colors.
I can't use Black and White because they actually used those.
That was the thing that happened.
Pokemon Black and White are actually remakes.
And, like, lighter gray because they put so much white in it. I don't know. Or, like, a really long title for a version. Pokemon lighter gray because they put so much white in it version.
Bitch probably doesn't even know about green version.
Scrubs.
This actually came out today. Legendary Entertainment, the guys that are making the latest Godzilla movie and stuff, they got the rights for a Pokemon live action movie.
Detective Pikachu. Except,
like, your first thought is like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do. Are they going to try to adapt the anime? Are they going to adapt the plot of Red and Blue? What are they going to do? Apparently, the first thing they're going to do is make a movie centered around Detective Pikachu.
And that seems like a brilliant first play.
This is the best damn idea I've ever heard in my life.
Is this the live action one for sure?
Yeah.
Or is it just Detective? Okay, like.
It's basically. Like, I can't remember if here's the game trailer which features live action. Yeah, that's what I thought. The trailer for Detective Pikachu had, like, live action, like, humans in it. And so it's kind of, like, already there. Like, they did the trailer, and so they're kind of already halfway there. So...
Okay, so it will be, like, live-action humans with this sort of, like, animated-looking Pikachu that kind of looks, like, cartoonish still.
Yeah. Okay. Knowing Legendary, they'll probably make it look a little bit more realistic than it does.
Yeah.
I'm thinking kind of along the lines of Pokken's realism, because Pokken has, like, fur and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking kind of along the lines of that, but it's... It's such a weird place to start, but I don't mind it at all.
Well, yeah, it is just because, like, when I was thinking, I remember hearing the rumors about like live action stuff a while back, and I was thinking like I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened earlier, given how like old Pokemon is and how popular it is and how it goes through its like ebbs and flows of like mega popularity and whatnot. But trying to picture what it would look like if they tried to make it like, you know, more live actiony, like even more like trying to make the Pokemon look realistic or something, and just getting used to the idea of like a live action version. You'd think they'd want to start with something more baseline, but they starting with Detective Pikachu was like your entry point to that world is definitely an interesting choice. I guess they figure like everyone knows Pikachu. Yeah, that's Pikachu right there.
And I love how like it settled down because like there wasn't any sort of confirmation about a localization for Detective Pikachu. That like way back it was just the campaign to get Danny DeVito to voice Detective Pikachu, and now that we have this movie, like it's started all over again.
It could happen now.
Everyone's like, it's a movie. Danny DeVito has to do it.
Oh man.
And I'm in full support of Danny DeVito Chew.
I mean, he's the same size, great. So it's perfect.
The same size. They could even do motion capture with him. It'd be great.
I mean, everyone has known since the beginning of time that Pikachu was Matilda's dad. Everyone knows that. I mean, just how did you think she got her powers and her sparkle? You know?
They don't call him Pikachu for nothing. Shine, shine, motherfucker.
Boom. Nailed it. 10 sparkles out of 10.
Well, that was a thing that happened.
Yep.
We'll see what comes of that, if it actually comes out, and what all, but that's where we're at in life right now, I guess.
I mean, I can't wait to just buy the midnight opening tickets for Detective Pikachu. I mean, come on.
I'm there. I'm already there.
Like, wear my detective's hat, like, just get a monocle, you know, full support. I want to get, like the detective's hat, and then get, like, some of those, like, ears that, like, you know, Cat would have of, like, Pikachu. And, like, put it over the detective hat. It'll be perfect. Cosplaying 101, honestly. I'm sure it's not outside the restrictions of movie theaters. I don't think I can conceal any weapons in there, except for weapons of adorableness. I don't remember what the restrictions are here now. I think you just can't cover your face or something. I don't remember if that's everywhere just here, because it's the Hellmouth.
It depends on where you go. There's a couple theaters by me that don't allow costumes or anything like that, so...
And I think it's all that's your guys' fault, though. It really is. It's totally our fault. We're just sitting there like sitting ducks, and we should have been ready, honestly. How dare we try to enjoy Batman in peace? Alright, so I guess now it's time for...
Final thingies.
N3P?
Final things!
Yeah.
Question mark. So, yes. TTMF is back next week. Keep sending in those questions or those, like, keep, rewrite, destroys or whatever. And we will get to that next week. And I think that's it. You may go.
Thank you.